all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
Big changes. I've basically thrown away the show notes. I'm Duel. I am joined by a last-minute guest, and that guest would be a long time coming, dude. Zapperlink. What's up, man?
Not much. Finally getting on the show.
Finally, dude. I've been trying to get you on for so long. Are you still working on... Okay, we'll get to that. And I'm also joined by...
Mr. Mute.
Mute is in the his house. Okay. You're again, a last-minute guest. We've thrown out the show notes. I've been trying to get you on for a long time. Why is that? You've done something really cool, and it's on SourceForge, and it's called Syntanya. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Absolutely, man.
Okay, Syntanya, and it is an OS that you have begun to write in assembly.
Absolutely. It's one of my, I guess, hair-pulling experiences trying to learn how to write your own operating system.
I bet. And have you been coding in assembly long?
Actually, no. Writing the operating system was kind of my... fail-safe way of learning as you go, you know, kind of taking the hardest route you can possibly find and making it a challenge and just keep going with it.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely a challenge. I mean, C and Perl was enough challenge for me. How long have you been working on it?
I started, like, the conceptual thinking of what I wanted probably roughly about 9 months ago. I actually started physically, you know, getting down and taking the parts that I needed and starting putting the code together probably about 6 months ago.
Okay. All right. We're going to need a little more of a radio voice from you. So 6 months you've been coding this thing. And again, it's up at SourceForge. Do you have the address? Is it Syntanya.SourceForge.net?
Yeah, it is. You can reach it at Syntanya.SourceForge.net, or you can go SourceForge.net/projects/Syntanya.
And you spell that Centanya.
Absolutely.
Now, what kind of usability does it have right now? And a two-parter. And how could somebody actually use it? I mean, could they use it on their Nix box? Can they use it on their Windows box?
Well, right now, it's pretty much you boot from the disk. It doesn't have very much operability. I found a lot of friends testing it, and right now, it's kind of at that phase where you get to see where it works, where it doesn't. It's built on the Intel platform, the x86, so you can throw it on Nixbox. I'm building it to be compliant with, trying to build it to be compliant with any file system, but right now its primary file system will be the ext3.
Okay, so you're going to have it work on a journaling file system. Whoa, did you hear that?
Hear what, man?
Okay, good. I thought it voxed out again. Is that vox problem gone?
As For the most part, yeah.
Good deal, good deal. Again, this is a last-minute guess. I mean, serious, straight-up last minute, like real last minute. This is actually really exciting, and I've been waiting. Again, I've been waiting so long to get you on. Now, even more important, I think, for everybody, you know, for everybody in the community, if you have an interest in coding assembly, what could you do, Zapper? I mean, where did you go to start learning it? I mean, what tips can you give everybody if they want to start coding that way?
First thing I did to get an interest in assembly was I ran across some source code that required me to do low-level things. A lot of people refer to assembly as the low-level language because it literally works almost one-on-one with your computer. So I started looking at source code. Then I finally took the big jump and tried to confuse myself and went to the Art of Assembly, where I had to actually read like the first three chapters like two times over before I could really get the hang of it. You got to learn binary, you got to learn hex, and then once you get into that, it's not as hard as it makes it out to seem.
Really? Yeah. And what was it? Was this a book or a website?
I don't remember the website offhand, but it's the Art of Assembly. It's a fairly popular site. You can punch in Art of Assembly on pretty much any search engine, and you will find it.
Nice. And do you know who runs that by any chance?
I don't know who it is off the top of my head.
But just from a website, you learned enough to start writing this OS.
That actually gave me the foot in the door. I ran into a few other ones that I have bookmarked, and I'll try to definitely send you to so you can put it up on the site. But I ran into some that are basically, it gives you examples of where to start looking at first how to design a bootloader, how to design a kernel, what you need to know about memory, what do you need to know about, multitasking and whatnot.
Very cool. Now, if you would, please send those links so we can put them up on the site. I have linked your OS before in the past. I'm going to do it again. And this may be a lot to ask. I mean, it's pretty selfish of me. If you could, write or document about your trials, your tribulations, your successes in making this project, that would be great. I mean,
yeah, my failures outnumber my successes. Like I said, actually, there is the one that's on the site is actually extremely outdated because this current one I'm working with, I had to totally rewrite stuff. So it's been kind of a trial and error, go as you wish, and I haven't quite updated anything yet with it because the fact that it is so alpha that I just want to present people with something that they can actually get on the machine, use, and say, hey, this is it.
Yeah, and see how it works and do it themselves. So when can we expect something a little less alpha?
A little less alpha, I'm working into my next semester of school, so thinking of that, I probably will have one within a month out that'll actually be where you can actually sit there and hopefully boot it from any machine this time.
That is so cool. Yeah, so we could like take the disk anywhere to any computer, throw it in and get that. That would be so nice. Like go to CompUSA or Best Buy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what to do. That is very nice. Now I'm gonna. Anything else about your OS you want to talk about?
I guess I could talk about the concepts unless you want to move on to something else.
No, I do. I definitely do. See, I'm honestly just ignorant. I'm very curious. I think I've looked at your code once or twice, and I didn't know what was going on, and that's why you're here. I want to learn. I want everybody else to learn. So, yeah, please, talk about the concepts. Lay it on us, man.
Well, for the concept in code, I was looking at something that I can present to people because everybody's starting to write operating systems out there. It doesn't seem like it, but if you actually go out there and look on the Internet, you'll find many, many sources of different things you can look at. I know a couple of people that I asked actually for help in trying to do this. V2OS, they were a great bunch of people. They're doing a great job on their project, and I asked for advice on how to start out. And they showed me these sites that I looked at, and what I wanted to look at mostly was, first of all, I wanted to get something to boot, and you have to have a bootloader to do that. Well, that's probably like the biggest challenge, is to get something to go from turn on your computer to 32-bit, because obviously there's two different types of modes you can run. You can run in 16-bit or a 32-bit. Windows operating system is a 32-bit environment. And
you got to speak up, Zapper.
Sorry about that. Windows is your 32-bit environment, and 16-bit is your DOS environment. What I wanted to do is have the entire operating system run in 32-bit mode, so I had to take it to 16-bit mode to 32-bit, and that was a lot of, I guess you could say, frustrating code work.
Really?
Other than that, I don't have too much other things that are conceptually in the code yet. I'm trying to work with multiprocessing, which basically allows me to perform more than one process at a time. That's where your processes come in Linux. That I really don't know really well. I'll admit that flat out. And I guess the best advice I could give anybody who's willing to go out there and try is don't be afraid to ask around. If you don't know, go hit the books, go ask anybody. You may get shot down. You may find somebody who'll be willing to sit there with you step by step. It's all about chance.
Yeah, and more than likely you'll find somebody that's in between, and you'll get some kind of help or some kind of guidance. Now, Mute, have you done any coding in assembly?
Nope, I haven't touched it.
Do you want to touch it? Honestly, do you have any interest in coding in assembly? I mean, that is like some hardcore shit, big time.
Closest I've come to that low level, besides perhaps basic, was TI calculator basic, which is, I must say, some of, well, all right, you can't really diss it because if it was on a computer, it'd be okay, but when it's on A through Z keyboard that you can't really type with all that well,
right?
It's crap. If it was something I could hook up to my computer, then it would be fine, but it isn't. So I can't do it. But I mean, sure, you can always make for the calculator what it's basically made for. It's not made for games. It's made for writing out math problems, and then so you can plug them in.
Right.
Of course, people make games. That's why most kids buy the calculator in the first place.
Right, so they can have fun in class.
Exactly. So there's some pretty sophisticated games out there, actually, which is kind of fun. So.
Yeah, that's real cool. That's where I actually I can't think of anywhere else where I've actually really truly broke down and started, which I guess you would call coding, is first started out on a TI-85.
No kidding.
I believe it was actually the time that the special edition of Star Wars came out, and I was actually from scratch made an entire game trying to use a simple role-playing methods and using the graphing to show pictures and combine the two on a TI-80 calculator. Or 85, sorry. 85.
Holy moly, that is lit.
I think the most I did was some menus. And I've made a bunch of programs, like when math was easy, when I could do it in a few seconds, I would make programs to calculate slope and like quadratic formula and stuff. And
right.
The funny thing is, actually, I'll just talk about one little quick side note about the calculators, but I bet a lot of listeners out there might have these calculators. One popular, kind of interesting how there's on the TI-83s, which I would have to probably say is the more popular calculator of choice, because it supports a lot of games, and it's pretty cheap, actually. I think it's under $100. There's BAPS button, and people have written really higher-level applications. Someone wrote a program called Mirage OS, which basically is a file manager for your whole calculator for all your games.
No kidding.
Really nice stuff. It's really slick. There's a little thing, though. There's an options, and you can password protect it. And last year, I didn't know as much as I do now, so I took a I had a friend's calculator. I don't have it. I have an 86. I don't have an 83 anymore. I was looking around it, and it was password protected. I was like, you got to be able to get past this. This can't be that hard.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I was looking around, and you can go into options and preferences and a memory management program or a section of it. Digging around there, I found app vars, and I opened that up, and there was a 42-byte file called Mirage OS, and it contained the password because it contained actually all the options you could set. Deleted that, I was in. It was amazing. It was so funny because my friends, they would have a password with like some random amount of keys on their keyboard, and all I did was delete it, and I'm playing, and they're like, oh, I was like, hey, do you care if I play? Because now I'm playing. They're like, how the hell did you do that? I was like, I erased the variable.
You cracked a TI-83.
It was so funny because I thought, because the first time I did it, I was like, oh, shit, what does this do? Does it, like, erase? I didn't know what it did at first. I was like, does it erase everything? Because I don't know how this works. But then after I deleted it and then went back and ran the program, it gave me this opening screen that it gives when you first run it, and I was like, oh, shit, what'd I do? But I opened, all the games are still there. Just no more password, so I was like, yeah.
Nice. So, everybody, that's how you... That is the 1-2-3 on how to hack a TI-83. I have a TI-83, by the way. I never played any games. I just did my math, man. Did my calc. Got out of there, dude. Actually, you know what I've always wanted to mess with? It's those huge ones, you know? Those, like, Star Trek-sized freaking tricorder things. It's like I think it's like a TI-92. It's huge.
It's a full QWERTY keyboard.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's like, it's gigantic, dude. It's like a boombox.
3D screen. You could do 3D graphs with it. You could do. I've never played with one, but the funny, I mean, you get too high up on those are banned in standardized tests because a lot of them start going into the IR. They start having like infrared ports on them.
Oh yeah.
Some of them got the full QWERTY keyboard, means you could type in all the answers quickly beforehand,
right,
which is kind of an odd thing, kind of ironic, because you can do the same thing on a TI-83 because it has, you can buy ones with a lot of memory, and the fact that you could have a cable to hook up your computer,
right,
about anything you want. So it's kind of, that's kind of stupid, but I guess they chose those really high ones because you guess you could type out all the multiple choice answers, which would be kind of pointless because all the tests are fucking different.
So, very, very, very true.
Yeah, they're all different. It makes no sense to do that, actually. So
you're cheating yourself if you're cheating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, shame on you.
I never cheated, man. Straight up.
Straight up.
It was cake. It was so easy. School's a piece of cake. Anything else, Zapper? Now, I know, actually, you had... You wanted to mention a news story that I particularly enjoyed, and apparently this asshole is trying to, like, get back at these guys who did this. Tell everybody about it.
I can't remember how to say his last name, but his name's Alan. He's I believe he said he was on the top five of the spam companies, and basically he's suing all the anti-spam people for sending snail mail spam, everyone you could possibly sign up for, to his, I believe, $740,000 home that he now, I guess, runs his business through. So basically everybody's getting back at him, and he's suing them because it's not right.
Ah, yeah, nice. So, you know, I hate all kinds of spam, over the phone, email, junk mail. I despise junk mail, man, and there's nothing you can do about it. The stuff's not even addressed, you know, just a stack of garbage, and they stuff it in your mailbox. And what are you going to do about it? Who sends it? I don't know. Yeah, dude, this dude should just shut his mouth. He's not going to go anywhere with this. If I'm correct, AOL also just won, a $7 million suit against some spammers? I mean, this dude's got nothing to stand on right now.
I know, but the irony about it is, like, how dare you spam a spammer? I mean, come
yeah,
on.
No doubt. Well, who knows? There might be some federal law. I mean, the Postal Service, you know, there might be some federal postal law that says you can't sign people up for junk mail. Who knows?
How do you know who signed them up?
I mean, exactly. Exactly. What are you going to do, you know? I mean, the guy, his name's everywhere, I'm sure, so... Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, that's a good story. Very good story. Hey, Zapper, I can't thank you enough for being on this show. I want to get you on in the future. You had a great... Actually, we might as well touch on this now. You had a great idea up at the Stank Dog Forums about a Christmas special. That's right. We'll all sing Christmas carols and drink eggnog. No, not really. We're actually hoping to do this soon, to get a bunch of people on a con line and just freestyle it for an hour or two. And that'll be the, quote, Christmas special. Again, this is Zapper's idea. When did you think of this, dude? You're just like, you're on the can one day, right? Reading your...
actually sitting there. I was watching Ranma, one of my favorite anime movies. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what? There's like this recap of all the episodes because it's the end of the season. So I was watching the last season episode, and there was a recap. And I was thinking, hey, well, you know, like all the other things do, they always have this hour finale, you know, 2-hour special around Christmas and whatnot. So I was thinking, hey, man, why don't we do that with, you know, Radio Freak America?
That's a great idea. That would kick ass. So I hope we can pull this off. I really hope you can pull this off. And we're going to be, I don't know, if you know what, actually, we might get a good listenership on Christmas night. I mean, because what are people doing, right? They're just, they already wasted their day with their family, right? They spent the day with their family, right? So they're, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do on Christmas night? Do people, like, party on Christmas night? I don't think so, so.
They spend 20 minutes opening up all their shit, then they're playing with it. If they're a nerd, they're just playing with it.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
Just taking it all apart.
Yeah, you know, and you grubbed out with your family, you know, you all fall asleep on the couch or whatever, on the floor, watching, is there football on Christmas? Probably, you watch football, whatever. So what are you going to do that night, you know? You're going to hack, you're going to want to listen to RFA, and we're going to have this awesome Christmas special, right? I'm almost embarrassed to say Christmas special. I feel like, you know, like Burl Ives and the little claymation shit, you know what I mean? Dude.
Call it a holiday special.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry to everybody who's not Christian. This is the holiday special. That's just so... We got to think of something like totally blasphemous, you know, another term instead of, quote, something, you know, special. We got to do it. So this is the idea, Zapper's idea, and we hope we can pull it off. And you'll, yeah, guess what? You'll find out if we do or not.
Absolutely, and I got a little surprise, though. The target information will arrive on Christmas if it happens.
Yeah, some detailed retail hacking.
That'll show up on the air, and hopefully the listeners will like it. I still got to find some people to double-check some stuff somewhere else, but I'll let you guys get on with the show. And
hey, thanks a lot, man. Submit that stuff, dude. Write it up and submit it, because you got good stuff. You definitely should submit that. I mean, submit your Centennia OS. Submit the code to Outbreak Magazine or something, man. Get that stuff out there, and we'll help you, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys take care. And,
all right, man.
I guess have a happy holiday if I don't hear from you.
Yeah, we'll do, man.
See you, Zap.
See you.
Later, Zap. Okay, you still there, Mute?
Yeah, I'm there. Duel's, Stan's getting itchy. He's getting a little tense here.
Oh, are you guys IMing right now?
Yeah, he says, what's up? Am I interrupting the show? And he started laughing.
No, tell him, all right, I got to turn you off real quick. I got to turn off speaker, and I'm going to dial him up, all right?
All right, go for it.
All right. Okay, so right now, you still there? Okay, so I got to flash. Okay, everybody, I am talking to Mute, and I'm going to be dialing up Stank right now. Where's his number? Okay, move the cell phone here. Exciting stuff. Oh, I'm flashing you. Okay, we are dialing Stank Dog live. And you cannot hear the DTMF tones. You probably would not like that. Alright, you're back. Dude, this is wicked echo. When I picked up, there's, hold on, I'm going to put you guys on speaker. We're recording live, by the way.
Oh, how about that?
Okay, yeah, we had, as you well know, Stank, we talked before the show, we got a last-minute guest, Zapperlink, and he talked about his OS written in assembly. We talked about some other things, talked about the spammer getting spammed, right, the physical mail getting sent to his house. We talked about this, quote, Christmas special. We got to think up some blasphemous name, dude, other than holiday or Christmas special. We got to think something up, you know, Slatanic frickin' death hour or something. I don't know, but we got to do something. So, hey, thanks for being on. This is Stank Dog.
In the house.
Hell yeah. So, thank you for being patient with this last-minute guest. You know, we've been trying to get him on. That wasn't the special guest we're trying to get on 41, though. That was another guest, and we're still working on that. So we'll see what happens. I'm actually going to I'm going to bring up the show notes here, because I actually might use them now.
I think you should be the one with the begins with a Q. That looks fun.
Begins with a Q? You think so?
Yeah, I think that would be really funny. I want to hear this, actually.
Okay, all right. This is a lot of me talking, though, and I want to hear you guys. Okay, we'll start this. I'm sure you guys have similar stories. This is actually, before Zapper, this was going to be the gist of this show, the meat of this show, and it was going to be, and it is going to be, because I'm going to do it right frickin' now, the Quest Sucks mini special. That's right. Hold on. I got a good sound for that. Let me see here. That's right, the Quest Sucks.
My rubber band.
Oh, man.
Here.
Oh, it didn't frickin' work.
Oh, you did?
Anyways, the Quest Sucks mini special. Oh, here we go. That's going to be the sound we're going to play when we get any freak stories. So, why am I bringing this up? What is the Quest Sucks mini special about? Well, you know, it's about really important things, and that is bitching about the telcos. Let me start with a little history. First, beginning with the breakup of Ma Bell in 1984. Yes, 1984. The federal government said, hey, you're a monopoly, break up. And U.S. West was formed, along with six other regional Bell operating companies, Arbox, or Baby Bells. U.S. West serviced, I don't know if they serviced the same 14 states they do now, but U.S. West served the basically the western United States. In the year 2000, in fact, June 30th, 2000, Quest completed its merger with U.S. West. That's right. Quest basically took over U.S. West. And has since, and I say this because I've actually heard this from Quest employees' mouths, you know, former employees and current employees, basically Quest ran U.S. West into the ground. That's right. Bad times. So that's a little history. But who cares about a little history? Why am I bitching about Quest? Well, here's why. Let me go into a little more history. I got to apologize. This last second guest just screwed me up big time. So we got a little history, right? About
just for the record, 1984, George Orwell. Just thought I'd slip that in.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, by the way. So we got a little history, how Quest was formed, right, and what Quest is now. There's more history about Quest, and this is more recent, and we've actually documented all this on oldschoolfreak.com on RFA. Quest had some horrific privacy policies that they tried to institute, and then political pressure made them pull that out. You know, that was a big thing on Old School Freak and RFA. Actually, the Quest provider proprietary networking information stemmed from that. You know, they wanted to give out all our information, so guess what? I compiled a bunch of stuff on them. I actually had numbers on managers and technicians, and I had home numbers, and you know, but I didn't release that, but I released all of their other toll-free numbers. Let's see, after that, after Enron, actually, Quest executives, like Enron, I should say, sold off millions in stock, you know, at, quote, opportune times. Let's see, what other things has Quest done? Let's see, Quest... this is just recent. Quest has been settling hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in settlements because of their shady business practices. They would do things like, customers would call, and who knows, they might be poor, you know, I'm down and out, I need the bare-bone phone service. Well, guess what? They weren't informed about the most bare-bone phone service. They would just get sold, you know, pressure selling of packages, you know. Well, you need this package and that, and you need security screen, and they've had to settle hundreds of thousands, like I said, if not millions of dollars in settlements. In fact, and this can be proven very easily, give 800-244-1111, which is Quest Residential, a call. And now when you go through the options to sign up for service, right, you press 1, 2, whatever, enter your phone number, there will be now a message that says, Quest also offers the most basic phone service for this certain price and blah, blah, blah. They have had to have done that since these settlements. So give that number a call, 800-244-1111, which is Quest Residential. Enter a phone number. Get to the Add a Services, section of the phone service there, and you will hear that message, and that is very, very recent. So, okay, all this has been documented. You've heard all this stuff before, but guess what? That's not the worst thing.
It gets worse?
Oh, it gets worse. Way worse. You know why? Because they lied to me. That's the worst. I change my number often. I'm prone to do that. I just do it. I don't know why. It's kind of fun, actually. You know, I like to mess around with the phone system, and changing your number is part of it. You know, why be static? I like new numbers.
UHCP for your phone.
What's that?
UHCP for your phone.
Exactly. Keep moving. I'm a moving target, baby. Okay, so I'm also unlisted. I also pay, which is absurd, $2 a month for non-published service. I do all this. On top of changing my number, which costs $13 to change your number, by the way. So I talk to the Quest representative. I say, hey, Mr. Quest representative, I'd like to change my number. He said, sure. And I said, I would like an unused number. He said, okay. I said, wow, that's rare, by the way, to get an unused number. Usually they just say, well, they're just rehashed, you know, you might get an unused number, whatever. He said, and I quote, this is an unused number. I said, great, I'm very, very happy. It was actually a later extension in a certain exchange, so I was actually pretty, you know, I thought, hey, it does look like an unused number, I'm very, very pleased. Guess what?
What?
Guess what? Well, first I usually receive a lot of wrong numbers, right? A lot of, you know, crazy wackos calling up drunk in the middle of the night, hey, you know, Jim, whatever, you know, I didn't get any of these, which was great. I was very, very pleased. I said, hey, it is an unused number, but no.
But?
It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been. It was too good to be true. I received many, many, and I didn't in the past, telemarketing calls, lots of them. In fact, after we recorded, I think, RFA 41, right after that, I received two calls. After 8 o'clock at night, two telemarketing calls. And that has never, ever happened before. And I go through numbers like, you know, mute goes through women, dude. Straight up.
Straight up.
Damn, man, that's a lot of numbers.
That's a lot of numbers, man. So something was up. No wrong numbers. An unused telephone number from Quest. Lots of telemarketing calls. What would that tell you guys?
Something fishy there.
That's right. Something smells bad. And that smell would be Quest selling my number. Yes, they lied to me. Unused number my ass. Unused to everybody else, but they use it left and right to sell them out. You know what? And think about it. And this is not conspiratorial. Look at their past, right? I'll be a lawyer here, and I will just refer to their past. Settlements left and right, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars in settlements for the same kind of shit. So, they say unused number. Well, I say bullshit. They sold my number up and down, just like they tried to sell my private information to these people. And then guess what? And you know what? Hoping that I would be so upset, so pissed off, that I would buy their useless Quest security screen. And if you think, again, I'm paranoid or conspiratorial, I disagree with you, because I think that's exactly what they're doing. Now, do you think I'm the only person who's not happy with their telco? Oh, hold on a second. This will be a test. Stank dog.
Please, don't get me started.
That was answer in itself. Okay, answer simply, yes or no. Are you happy with your telco?
Can't make it that simple, but hell no.
Hell no. Hell freaking no, he's not happy with his telco. So this is not uncommon. This is not the rantings of some crazy man who had a last-minute guest and had to throw out the show notes and is trying to get it all back together again. No. This is true, true stuff. This is fact. Okay, so if you have interest in the, quote, business practices of telcos, and the displeasure of others who have interest in the business practices of telcos, then I've got a couple of websites for you. And these will just reiterate it over and over again. The first is teletruth.org. And I think this is a larger group, you know, it's kind of like a Better Business Bureau kind of group. And they actually, I guess they're like a watchdog group, you could say. They ask for donations and whatever. I don't know how straight up that is, but definitely go check it out. You'll read a lot about telcos and the troubles other people have. And next, this site's hilarious. I love this site. And you actually get a lot of stuff from Quest employees. In fact, I read a good letter on this site from a higher-up at Quest. You know, basically it was a cease and desist, like, hey, quit using our name, blah, 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 no slander, all this crap. So, and this site is, and there's no way to say it, really, there's no pronunciation. It's, of course, www.tsewq.com, that's right. Look at it in a mirror, it's questbackwards.com. So, tsewq.com. It's hilarious, if nothing else.
Quest Backwards might actually be a pretty good company, because they're already back-asswards as it is.
Oh, man, you have no idea. And like I said, I would hear this stuff, you know, from businessmen, you know, who know the ins and outs of large businesses. Oops, I'm recording something on my voice recorder. This is not going to be good. you know, who know what has happened with Quest and say, yeah, they ran it into the ground. This huge company sees, you know, this, you know, sees a profit margin is what they see. They don't know anything about the people, about the service, you know. They just see profits. So they go and get it, suck it up, run it into the ground. You know, I don't know how bad they're doing now. I'm assuming they're not well off as they used to be. But, and again, Quest employees, from the mouths of these employees, a retired employee, two others I talked to, you know, it's bad. So, again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Look at your telephone bill. Don't let your telco run you around. You know, you're paying for good service, you should get good service. You're paying, unfortunately, you have to pay to be private. You should, you know, stay private. Yes. Let's go into freak news. Oh, that's what I'll do. From now on, because I don't know if you guys have been noticing this, but I've been trying to have a freak news section on the last few shows. You guys notice?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of digging it. So what I'll do, and I just had this idea, instead of every time we have freak news, I will play. That's right, freak news, baby. And actually, this segues pretty well. This is about Quest. Not too long ago, Quest tried to sell off their Quest Dex, Yellow Pages arm, you know, of course, to liquidate, cut costs, right? They just tried to get rid of it. Well, they didn't. I don't know if it wasn't approved or what happened, but this was actually in my local paper. New Yellow Pages have red-black trim. And if you don't know what that means, what it means is the new Yellow Pages, the, quote, improved Yellow Pages, have black and white checkers on the spine for the automotive section, and then red and white checkers on the spine for the restaurant section. So, for, you know, for quick browsing for those two, I guess, very popular sections. You know, the largest sections are like lawyers and doctors, so that's fucked up. So, what is this? Oh, and there's something else that's kind of juicy, of course, with these 2003 phone books on the way. Quest will deliver more than 1 million new phone directories to this Metro City residents, businesses by the end of December. Let's see, more user-friendly. Of course, I just told you about the color coding on the edges. Ah, here we go. Electronic versions of the new directories are available on CD-ROM, which customers can order by calling, get your pens and papers, everybody, 800-422-8793. I'd like everybody to call and order one, please, and enjoy these directories on CD-ROM. It's the first I've ever heard of that from Quest. Have you guys heard anything about that from your telcos?
I think for quite a while now they've been you've been able to order them CD-ROM. Back when they first put them on the web, they made them available. They saw how popular they were. I saw how quickly they disappeared and realized they could make money off of those.
Right. Yeah, I've used, I think it's questdex.com, of course. It's been on the web for quite a while. It's very useful. I never knew they had CD-ROMs, or I guess maybe I just never noticed. How about you, Mute? Your telco?
Actually, I think Mute dropped.
No kidding.
I think I heard Mute drop, and yeah, he just IM'd me.
Oh, really? What's he saying?
He just said he said, I lost the show.
Does he want me to call him back?
Yeah, he says, see if he notices, he's going to play a joke on you. But go ahead and call him.
Guess what? I did notice.
Yeah.
Does he want me to call him?
Yeah, go ahead and call him.
All right. All right, I got to take off speaker. All right, you still on? Oh, yeah. What? No, I did not. Sorry, man. We can get another one. We can get another one when we come back here. Hold on a second. All right, let me flash it here. So now I'm calling Mute, and I don't have his number handy. This show is just crazy, man. I tell you what, you know what, everybody? You still there? Okay, hold on. I'm putting you on speaker again. Okay, I got to look for Mute's number, so I might as well do it on speaker. And I want to let everybody know that doing a show, you know, like this is, there's a little bit of work into it, you know? And when something, and tonight really was kind of crazy, but I had to do it. I felt like I had to do it. I had to bring Zapper on, you know, even at the cost of seeming professional, you know. I've been told we're professional. Thank you very much. I had no idea, actually. I try. We try. Okay, so I'm looking up Mute's number here.
Yeah, Zapper hasn't been on in a while anyway, so I wanted to hear from him, see what he had to say, because I know he said he was working on some assembly stuff, and that's some real machine-level stuff he's working on, man.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like right above ones and zeros, so yeah, it's pretty difficult. I looked at the code, and I had no idea.
Yeah, right?
Why cannot I find his number in my phone? Okay, here we go. All right, got it. All right, got to take you off. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, so we are calling... Let's see, we've talked to Zapper. I've called Stank. And now I'm calling Mute live on the air. So I'm flashing. Hold on. So we flash... dialing Mute as we speak. Okay, you there? All right, we got him. I'm gonna make sure everything's cool. What's up? All right, hold on, you guys do it again. All right, here we go, speakerphone. What's up? Yeah. Dude,
it was so weird. I was leaning back and I was like listening to the show, and I look up and my phone kicks out and it says power failure. I'm like,
Whoa, is this the, hold on, is this the hot new phone system you have?
This is the hot new, well, it's only one of them. So
oh, okay.
Major, but it's like this AT&T, like, it's insane. I'm like, I just click, lean back, it clicks out, and it's this power failure on the LCD. I'm like, what the fuck?
That means you are off of the show.
I'm off. I was disconnected.
Okay, a couple other things in the freak news. AT&T, if you've noticed, has a new recording when you dial 1010-288. I might play at the end of the show. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So check that out. It's a new woman. It's really, she sounds really funny, actually. Rack sent in the link. Sent in a link for the freak news, and that is cell-phone-numbers.com. I think I've been there before. It's where you can look up cell phone numbers. I don't know if you guys have ever used it, but check that out. I've got a couple of numbers I want to give out. We haven't done phone calls lately on the show because we've done really good shows, really good guests, you know, Stank and Mute on constantly. You know, you guys are like, you are the RFA crew now, so I'm very happy.
Phone.
Yeah, I would give up phone calls to have you guys on every show immediately. So two numbers I want to give out. One is 866-630-MSN8. That's right, the phone number for MSN8. I want everybody to call him up and start asking about parental controls, and if their parental controls will stop your kids from going to evil hacker sites, and then record it and send it to us. That's what I want you to do. I want you to really, oh, because I'm so scared of hackers, and they're so bad and evil. Maybe that's a bad idea.
Hmm.
I don't want to propagate the bad thing, you know, the bad thoughts about hackers, huh?
I think that's a legitimate question to ask them and see what they say.
Yeah, no doubt, and not to mention, it might be damn funny.
Amen.
So record that shit, and then, again, I heard this commercial on the radio. Actually, it was, I don't know where I heard it. I heard it on the radio, and it was for some burger place, and it struck
me. Hey, man, that's good stuff. That's not just a burger place.
Do they have this burger place where you live?
Well, when you sent me the show notes, of course I had to call it.
You did? Okay. Yeah,
I didn't have them here, unfortunately. They had them where I was born, which is Virginia. I don't mind saying that.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Had them, and that was good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good. They're, like, really huge and thin, you know?
Yeah, there was only one. It wasn't, like, a big chain or anything. I didn't think it was. Maybe it's grown since then, you know, years ago.
It's a chain out here out west, and this is Whataburger. And I heard this, and this is the only reason why my ears, you know, tuned in on this commercial, because they like spit out a number instantly, and it was 877-YO-FRANK, and I called it too, and it's pretty, it's kind of hokey, but call that up, it's kind of fun. 877-YO-FRANK, record something stupid on there, say RFA in his house or something. Okay, and the last bit of freak news, Radio Shack, of course, they're having like sales like you wouldn't believe, man. You'll find stuff clearing out left and right because of the holiday season. Like, I just got this phone flasher. It, like, you plug it into some 120, put a phone line into it, and then, like, flash a lamp and the phone rings. I'm going to try to make out. Captain B, yeah, check this out, Captain B. The phone flasher, I got it for $3 at Radio Shack. I want to, like, make a new box. So, Captain B, get back to me. Let's see if we can brainstorm and make some freaky box with this phone flasher.
Deaf people, man.
What's that?
It's for deaf people.
Well, kind of, yeah, but so what, man? There's got to be some freaky kind of box we can make with this. So, and if anybody can make a box out of something, it's Captain B, man.
I can make a box out of that. You hook it up in the back of their house, and you can wire it to their 110 coming into the household. Or every time they get a phone call, everything starts flashing.
Yeah, you just get like some, like, you know, 110 powered LED light or some little flashlight, something a little lamp that'll flash, so you know it's them. Then you can tune your scanner into their phone. Yeah, dude, there you go, box right there. We just made a box.
Thanks. Run rope lights through the whole house.
That's right. And they'll be looking outside their window. Man, what's that? What a coincidence. Every time a phone rings, these lights on my neighbor's house go up. Yeah, dude, we made a box right there. So anyways, they're selling shit like dirt cheap. This isn't super dirt cheap, but they were clearing out phone cards. I mean, they had stacks of these phone cards, Sprint prepaid phone cards, in 33 minutes, 66, and like 120, I think, minute increments, and they're 2-for-1. So I got, I bought the cheap ones, I bought one 33-minute phone card for $5, and I got another one for free, so that's like over 7 cents, maybe less than 8 cents a minute. So it's not really dirt cheap. I'm sure you get better rates if you bought more expensive cards. But check that out. If you need some cheap phone cards, go to Radio Shack. You might be able to get them even cheaper. That's the freak news, man. Hey, you guys, do you think the tones for the freak news is stupid?
I think it's cool.
Yeah, we just got to get them a little louder and make sure they can hear clearly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm playing it into the mic. It'll be super clear in the show.
Cool.
All right. So that's the freak news. I'm hoping to keep that going because I enjoy it. I definitely enjoy it. You guys got anything sticking out in your mind right now? I know Mute's got some experiences he wants to talk about. Mute actually sent in, and I've been getting...
I like how you titled that, the Mute Experience, like the Hendrix Experience.
Exactly. I'm glad you caught that. The Mute Experience. Mute, he actually called me from a concert. It was pre-music, and we talked for quite a while, and he actually got some sweet recordings.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing them. I don't know if I'll play them this show or not. I have been getting so many recordings from people, like intros. We got a great, I'm sure you heard, the great intro by Nick.
This is the first one.
Yeah, I played the second. The second one's on this show.
Yeah.
The first one, I'll get it in somewhere. And then we're gonna play Bland's Techno Manifesto at the end of the show, which is gonna rock. So I don't know where I'm gonna get yours in, Mute. We'll get it in somewhere though. Don't worry. So
there's a lot of people posting really good stuff out there.
Oh,
man.
Awesome stuff, man! Blows me away. Blows me away.
Keep it up.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're getting a lot of good stuff, and it's hard for me to squeeze it all in. So I'll do the best I can. We're going to be trying to do this Christmas special. I'll get some stuff in then. We got something special, and maybe this is cliche, maybe this is stupid, but I'm planning something special for Ep 50. So if we make it, you know, Lord help us, make it to 50.
I have an interesting little phone freak type of thing.
Lay it on us.
I was messing with my cell phone, and, well, as most may know, cell phones, you know, they don't use dial, they don't use DTMF, they use signaling, so... But to kind of replicate that, so for normal people, we can produce those tones, and then for ATM, for automatic computer machines that need DTMF, they can produce at the other end. Well, you got yourself a new tone dialer. Because you can play back those tones, because you can set your phone to play back those tones continuously through the speaker.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, let me see how this sounds.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. You got yourself a tone dialer off of your damn phone.
How many people are going to sit there and listen to those tones and see if you just spelled out a secret word or something for
That's
them?
That's right. No doubt, dude. They're going to be decoding these tones. There was a message in those tones.
Yeah, man.
Nothing wrong with decoding DTMF, is there, Mute?
Oh, good all.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Stank, how you been, man?
Oh, man, I'm having wireless issues.
Still?
Well, it's just because my DSL modem's a USB, external USB modem, and most of these things are made for Ethernet, so I'm back on wired again temporarily until I get this sorted out.
Right. Can you buy,
Yeah, I'm scouring eBay and trying to find it. I mean, if I, you know, they cost like $150 to order it from my telco, and that's just, I think they already ass raped me enough. I don't think I want to give them another $150, so.
Stank, how do you really feel about your telco?
And what you said earlier, I don't think that Quest just happens to be the one that kind of got caught for some of it. They all do it. They don't give you the lowest price. They absolutely screw you. No one is better than their other. They're all spawn of the devil. It just makes me sick. I'm going to try not to rant on that too much because...
You don't have to, Stank. That was very, very well put.
Yeah, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
You know, I had an interesting thing I noticed today. I was looking through my logs. I got a hit from ARPANET.
Really?
You ever see that in your logs before?
No, I've got a couple from .mils.
Yeah, I got
And
one.
I've got some from Govs.
For those listeners who don't know, is the precursor to the Internet. That's kind of the Department of Defense system that kind of started years ago and kind of grew into and became the Internet. So I'm wondering, who is it that's on ARPANET that's hitting my site?
Yeah, you know, and I wonder, I mean, are they, they're obviously smart enough to mask what, you know, what network they're on to check out our sites, you know, being, what I'm talking about being the .gov, .mils, and the ARPANET.
Well, I would hope they're doing that.
That's well, that's what I'm saying, but if they're not, I mean, are these people just browsing? I mean, what's the deal? Or maybe they don't care. They're looking at us, and they don't care that we know that they're looking at us. I don't know.
It was one visit, one hit, and 16K file downloaded. I can't tell which file it was, though.
Right, that's
if
just
they came
HTML.
Here, they knew what they wanted, they got it, and they left.
Well, that's probably just HTML.
Some smileys from your board.
That's right.
And maybe it's another some tool from another site trying to. Should I even talk about that? How much time do we have?
Go for it, man.
Man, all right. So this person, I'm not going to mention any names, totally out them, but somebody from another message board. And anybody can look around through mine and figure out who I'm talking about. Somebody was ganking my smileys on message board. How lame do you have to be to do that? I mean, ay. My little smiley of the little rocking guy that's banging his head
yeah.
into the headbanger.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like I went over to the site. I registered with the site just to post one message and say, hey, I know what you're doing. It's kind of lame, but hey, feel free. It's not bothering, you know, it's not that big a deal, but if you think you're fooling somebody, you're not. You know, I saw the hits in my log, and I'm like, why is somebody hitting this site from there? And, you know, that's how I found it.
Right.
So I let it go, and just out of total curiosity, I went again a couple weeks ago. I saw my logs that the hit count increased, so they're still doing it. I went over there, and this person posted in the forums that he was going to totally, I don't remember his exact words, he's totally going to hack through my site, ruin my bandwidth, and make my site crash. Well, listen, here's the funny part. The way he was going to do it, he found the directory where the emoticons are, which is the little smiley guys.
Right.
The directory is publicly accessible. Anybody can find that easily. He was going to put them all into a post.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, I know. He was going to put all 30 of the .07K files.
He'll crash the root servers, man.
Oh, and here's what makes it a cool virus and an elite trick. Not only when he comes to the site and posts does it use my bandwidth, but everybody who reads that forum and sees those leeches on my bandwidth, and I'm going to run out and my site's going to crash.
Oh, my God.
Hey, brain fart, can you not tell that that's what emoticons are for? How many people do you think hit my site and get the same goddamn emoticons every day? Do you think you're leeching a couple more is going to kill my site? Get real!
No shit, dude.
I can't believe what people think sometimes.
Basic mathematics, man. We're talking K, and then
right now. All right, let's
gig. We're talking, you know.
We're talking KB, right? Kilobits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, bits.
Tiny.
And gigabytes.
All right, we're talking about what do you have? Like 20.
100 gigabyte.
Okay.
Per month, right now.
All right, let's say there's. You said there's 30 of those emoticons there.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
If you post one post, that's 2.1 kilobytes. That's in one post. Now let's say. All right, that's a pretty small board. Let's say 30 people see that. Or let's say, all right, let's be generous. 50 people see that a day. So that's 50 loads of that. That is one-tenth of a meg a day. 50 people load that page. 50.
Mute. All 50 of those people could sit at their computers and press reload over and over again as fast as they could for a month.
Let's say every one of them pressed reload 1,000 times. That would still be... Now, let me take negative symbol off. It would still be, that'd be 10 megs a day. That just did it 1,000 times. You have, now let's see how many, you have 100 gigabytes?
100 billion. 100 billion.
it's just, my God, these people don't even know math?
Basic mathematics, my brother.
Numbers might be skewed a little bit because he found one other really, really hidden graphic that I had. That would be the DDP logo on the front page. Oh.
Cool.
That's huge, dude. That's huge. Oh, my God. Take it down. Take it down.
I don't know how he found all my secret, super top secret hidden graphics and everything. I mean, I guess I got to hide them better next time. Somewhere on the front page is just a little bit too easy.
Oh, my God. Stank. You better use triple, double encryption on your shit.
Hey, yeah, maybe I need to authenticate everybody who pulls a graphic off.
That's right.
Maybe HT access the whole site.
That is funny. That is so funny. You know... Along with, you know what, I'm going to get everybody, these are some basic messages in life that'll get you going pretty far in life. And the first one, of course, as we have demonstrated, is no basic math. The next is don't litter. Why would you say that, by the way? This is a piece of random paper that I found on the ground.
Uh-oh.
Random paper.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I found two, by the way. One is really, really, could be really damaging, and one is not so damaging, but could be fun. Now, I'm sure you've all have seen the articles in 2600 about Blockbuster, right? Really fun to read. Good articles. I was at a Blockbuster recently, getting a DVD, and I look down, as I'm prone to do. I look up and down. I look all around, for crying out loud. And I found a receipt, a Blockbuster franchise. And I'm sure you've seen these all over the place. And, of course, what are on the Blockbuster receipts nowadays but the customer number and the full name of the customer? Assuming it's a real name, I've got some information. I've got some, of course, I've got the store number, the employee number who did it, and what they rented. You could call them up. You could have lots of fun posing to this person at Blockbuster. Of course, that's one little piece of information that can lead to many other larger, more important pieces of information, all because this guy either, well, he could have dropped it, right? He could have thrown it away. It could have been very careless and littered. So, do not litter. What was the other piece of paper I found? Well, much, much more damaging. It could have been much more damaging. I, of course, did nothing with it except shred it. And that was somebody's pay stub. That's right, pay stub. You got to hang on. You got to watch that stuff. You know, when I'm bringing this stuff up, it's actually very apropos. We have been getting, of course, CXI sent in two privacy articles and started the new privacy section at oldschoolfreak.com. Well, guess what? We got another great, great privacy article. Yeah, dude, from Plant. Have you guys read it?
I read Social Insecurity. Awesome.
Social Insecurity. Dude, three awesome, awesome privacy articles. The latest, of course, from Bland Inquisitor, Social Insecurity. Good stuff. Read all three. This privacy section is just blowing up. So that's one reason why I'm bringing this stuff up. Hang on to your pay stubs, especially if your pay stub has your Social Security number on it, which this certain pay stub did. So I knew how much this person makes. Right? I know their Social Security number. I know their address. I know where they work. Everything. Because I don't know if they were careless or if it was an accident. Just because I looked down and saw a piece of paper on the ground. So really, really watch those little pieces of paper. I hate, you know, I'm not instilling fear upon you. I'm just trying to make sure that, that nothing bad happens to you, you know? I mean, it's how would you say this? Basic
common sense.
Okay, I didn't want to say it. All right. It is. It is, man.
Word for it.
Straight up. I mean, and you know what? This is preaching to the choir. You know, nobody listening to this show needs to know that kind of stuff. But maybe the people you care about need to know, because some people don't. They just. I don't know if they don't realize that you know what they're throwing around. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard it. You go to banks. You go to, you know, you go pay a ticket, and people are just, oh yeah, my Social Security number. Sure, it's you know, XXXXX, right? And they just blurt it right out. You know, I got a pen in my hand, and you could write it right on your hand, and there you go.
All
right,
here you go. Here you want, or have another, like, kind of privacy issue. There's a, you know, there's all these cool places where you can sit down and play some Counter-Strike at a place, basically permanent LAN party.
Sure.
Over there, all right, well, all right, it's $4 an hour. You go sit down and play, and you can become a membership for $5, and then it becomes cheaper. Well, they have a machine up in front where you become a member. And on this membership, you got, you know, your name. You can basically bullshit it all if you wanted to. Do whatever you want with it. And then you click save. It's basically some type of, I don't know what they wrote, probably some type of I think it's like a publisher page or some HTML. You click save, it saves the file. Then you have to click print. And so I type everything in. I click save. Then after I do that, I say, wait, my thing's gone, what do I do? He's like, well, print it. And I was like, it's not here. He said, well, you'd scroll through and find yours. So with the wheel of the mouse, scroll through. They're all alphabetical.
Really?
It's everyone.
Oh, jeez.
And you could print at will, couldn't you?
You could print out. Well, you don't know about printing because he's standing right there.
Oh, really?
But you could write down everyone's address, number, name.
Do they watch you while you're putting in your name?
No,
and stuff?
Because it's on the other side of the table.
So you could put in an account that says DDP was here and then not print it, just leave it?
Yeah, you could print
there
it.
There you go.
You could do whatever you want.
Dude,
tag it.
You
got to
watch. Yeah, you got to watch, okay. Man.
Speaking of tagging it up, I finally rooted the Best Buy kiosk this weekend.
No way! Yes!
Dude, it has to be a certain, and it's the good old-fashioned help file. There were three kiosks in mine, and I've been going to each one of them, trying different stuff out. I'm going to write it up and post it later, and maybe on a later show we'll go into detail. It's not that much detail, but I finally got it, so we'll talk about that off the air. And
yes, save that one, dude. That is like the holy grail of retail.
No, right?
It is.
My Jen Ryan and I went up there, and he and I do that together because that's one of our favorite stores. So,
sure.
Yeah, we had a nice little celebration in the middle of the store for that one.
Nice, dude. Very nice. Yes, that'll be a good one. Maybe we can have another little mini retail hacking because I've got some phone stuff to talk about in the retail world. So maybe we can talk to people with that. In fact, I want to try to arrange something special. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, all right. We'll say this. We'll say this for another show. We're up against it right now.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it kind of sucks, man. There's just not enough time. There's not enough time. Especially with you guys, man. I cannot thank you guys enough. You guys are the shit. I mean, you guys, we are the RFA crew right now. I mean, the shows, they're better than ever. People are listening. They're downloading the shows like crazy.
And thank you to people for listening. When they send us emails, it really, really helps motivate us to keep going. And I appreciate them sincerely.
Yeah, and same here. And pimp the show, contribute to the show, turn people on to the show. Help people out.
Can I pimp one more thing real quick before we go?
Yeah, I got something else too. So go for it.
Distributed.net.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Okay, distributed.net is back up again. I already posted up all the rules in the distributed.net forum at stankdog.com, directions on how to download it, how to get it up and working easily and properly, and the DDP team number. So a quick shout-out to Turmoil, who was the first one to join the DDP team, and he's been out there pretty much like the day or two after I was out there. So we get everybody out there. We're on early. We're on soon, and we can get to the top of the list and stay at the top of the list. All the directions are on the site, and maybe next week we'll go into it a little bit more detail.
Now, I'm going to be doing this. Now, tell everybody how you sold me on it.
All right, yeah, the misunderstanding a lot of people have about this is that it's going to, burn up your chip, or it's going to just... Basically, what this is doing is cracking encryption in the simplest form. So it's a brute force attack on encryption. So what it does is you download clients to your PC, and everybody gets a little bit of chunk of data and lets your PC work on that data and then sends it back to the server. Well, people think that it's going to sit there and grind on that data because it is some very, very big numbers, which is very complex math, and that's what your CPU does is crunch out those numbers. Well, it's not going to sit there and burn your CPU in the ground and get real hot. You can control the way it works and how it works. And Distributed provides what they call a screensaver multiplexer. So you don't have to leave your system sitting there chugging all day, lose CPU time, lose stuff to, you're trying to run one application and you think you're losing to the other one that's using the CPU time. No, you can put it in the screensaver multiplexer. The screensaver multiplexer will run distributed.net only when the screensaver kicks in, and it launches whatever screensaver you want. So you still have the screensaver that you like or want on there, and when you come back and hit the mouse, screensaver goes away, distributed quits where it left off, and you got your CPU 100% back.
Very nice. And don't use it at work. You may get in trouble. So, yeah, I'm sold. I'm gonna start doing it, so I'm going to sign up. Everybody else should, too. And this is the RC572, is that correct?
72, right.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, I want to go back to pimping the site, and telling your friends, just tell everybody, man, not just the site, pardon me, the show. Pimp the show because it's all about the community, man. It's everybody. It's all of us. It's RFA crew. We try to get information to you. We want information from you so we can get it out to everybody. I was listening to Sean Kay last night. I actually went on IRC. I don't know why. I had this urge. So I went on IRC, and I actually had a great, an intelligent conversation on IRC, believe it or not, with, I believe her name was Angelica Firestorm. Actually, one of Gluco's friends, and this is why I bring it up. Gluco was pimping the site, the show, to her friend, and she knew about it. She knew who I was. She knew the show, and we talked. It was great, and she had some great stuff about going from Canada into the U.S., what they ask for. She had some great stories about the airports and airport security. Really good stuff. So, actually, if you guys want to be on the show or write something up, let me know. and pimp the show, man. Pimp the show, because, you know, who else, you know, I hope other people start doing this kind of stuff, but, you know.
Well, we both notice the hit counters are getting better. They're getting bigger as the days go on.
Yeah, man.
Range of where they're coming from, which is really cool to see all the different places they're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, we don't do this just to, you know, to pimp ourselves. We do this to, you know,
get people involved.
To get people involved, to be the mouth for everybody who shares, you know, to speak out for the community, man. Somebody's got to do it.
Every time, I mean, you know, every time somebody comes in, we gladly say their name on the air. We'll put you on the air. You got interesting stuff. We'll host your articles and stuff like that. I mean, believe me, we all work together. We're not working alone.
No doubt. We've been getting lots of great articles. Got some from Icon, again from Bland Inquisitor, Captain B. Dude, it's blowing up, man. The information is flowing, and I love it. It's like, because my hunger is insatiable, and Off the Hook just wasn't doing it. Off the Hook and HackerMind wasn't doing it, you know? I mean, those are the two specific things. You know, I'm hoping for this Outbreak Radio. I want that. You know, it's not competition. Dude, I'm desiring it because, again, my hunger is insatiable for this type of information. That's why I want all the articles. You know, great, yeah, I say I give it to everybody. Guess what, man? I'm selfish. I want to read it, dude.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, you know, and guess what? Everybody else wants to read it, too, so. All right, enough ranting. I think, how'd you guys like that Quest Sucks mini special, dude? I enjoyed that immensely, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like a release.
We should have took your blood pressure before and your blood after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stress relief.
Dude, yeah, big time, man. I tell you what, when I get hyped like that, you know, it can flow, dude. It can flow really well. So thank you, Quest, for giving me ammo. All right, guys, I'm going to play Blasto, and I hope to talk soon. All right?
Absolutely.
All right. Stank, mute. This is Radio Freak America.
Another one got caught today. It's all over the papers. Teenager arrested in computer crime scandal. Hacker arrested after bank tampering. Damn kids, they're all alike. But did you, in your three-piece psychology in 1950s Technobrain, ever take a look behind the eyes of the hacker? Did you ever wonder what made him tick? What forces shaped him? What may have molded him? I am a hacker. Enter my world. Mine is a world that begins with school. I'm smarter than most of the other kids. This crap they teach just bored me. Damn underachiever, they're all alike. I'm in junior high or high school. I've listened to teachers explain for the 15th time how to reduce subtraction. I understand it. No, Miss Smith, I didn't show my work. I did it in my head. Damn kid, probably copied it. They're all alike. I made a discovery today. I found a computer. Wait a second, this is cool. It does what I wanted to. If it makes a mistake, it's because I screwed it up. Not because it doesn't like me, or feels threatened by me, or thinks I'm a smart ass, or doesn't like teaching and shouldn't be here. Damn kid, all he does is play games. They're all alike. And then it happened, a door opened to a world rushing through the phone lines like heroin through an addict's veins. An electronic pulse is sent out, a refuge from the day-to-day incompetency that sought a board is found. This is it, this is where I belong. I know everyone here, even if I've never met them, never talked to them, may never hear from them again. I know you all. Damn kid, tying up the phone line again. They're all alike. You bet your ass we're all alike. We've been spoon-fed baby food at school. When we hungered for steak, the bits of meat that you did let slip through were pre-chewed and tasteless. We've been dominated by sadists or ignored by the apathetic. The few that had something to teach found us willing pupils, but those who are like drops of water in the desert. This is our world now, the world of the electron and the switch, the beauty of the bog. We make use of a service already existing without paying for what could be dirt cheap if it wasn't run by profiteering gluttons, and you call us criminals. We explore, and you call us criminals. We seek after knowledge, and you call us criminals. We exist without skin color, without nationality, without religious bias, and you call us criminals. You build atomic bombs, you wage wars, you murder, cheat, and lead to us, and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. My crime is that of judging people by what they say and think, not what they look like. My crime is that of outsmarting you, something that you will never forgive me for. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. You may stop this individual, but you can't stop us all after all, we're all alike.